Thank you again for being here. And we appreciate God and His providence and the way He does things. I appreciate the song service there. Song leader, I don't know where you are, but you did a pretty good job. Thank you for leading us in those praises to God. And the prayer by my dear brother over here from the heart, and I really appreciate that. And I'm proud of this church that meets here, and the preacher and the elders here, and deacons, and all the fine Christians that make up this powerful congregation of God's people. We have another good lesson for you from John chapter 9, 1 to 40 is the entire text. And we have some copies of this lesson provided. And we're going to talk a little bit about here. Jesus said unto him, the blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now the question is, had you been there, what would you have done? Are you still with me? Now, let me put something on the board here. I don't want to forget it. T-R-U-S, trust, and O-B-E-Y. Many individuals say they trust God, but they won't obey Him. You can't have the promises unless you obey the precepts. The precepts perform, then the promises. Now, in our text, what we have here, it's always important to obey the Lord. In John chapter 2, in verse number 5, when they ran out of wine at Canaan there, Mary said of his mother, whatsoever he saith, do it. Well, in Acts 5, verse 29, the apostle said, we ought to obey God rather than me. Are you still with me? Then, we have these prescriptions and commands from Christ Jesus were for only one blind man. Now, I want you to get this now. Just stay with me. I'm going to wait till these fellas pass out these bills here. But I want you to listen to me carefully. Christ healed other blind men. In Matthew chapter 9, 27 through 30, Matthew 20, 29 through 34, and Luke chapter 7, 21 and 22. He healed some more blind men. But I want you to get this. This prescription was for one blind man. And before I forget it, there's a prescription for remission of sin through the blood of Jesus. And it's for all men. And it's the same prescription. Are you listening? Now, we have in our lesson, watch this, we have the great physician, which is Jesus. We have the prescription. We have the patient, and he's prudent, and he's perfected. Is that pretty good, darling? Now, let's run down this text now. We got 6 points, main points. Now, we're not going to preach this, all of this. The latter part of it is just too much. We have the inconsideration by the disciples. That's chapter 9, 1 through 5. Are you still with me? I don't want to lose you. Point number 2. We have the demonstration by the Christ Jesus, 6 through 7. And then we have the stipulations, speculation by the people. Are you still with me? Then we have the interrogation by the Pharisees. Then we have the castigation by the Pharisees. And we have the summation of the Savior's purpose. Now, is that pretty good, Garland? Now, what I do in my preaching, a text, I like to give an outline of the entire text so you can go home and study it and learn to keep stuff in the context when you're studying the Bible. Now, let's run down this text and unpack the text and let the text tell the truth. That's pretty good, God. And we're going to give the interpretation of the text, and we're going to make some applications. All right? Would you stay with me? Let's look at it. First, we're going to look at the blind man. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. You know, it's bad to be blind physically, but it's worse to be blind spiritually. In Acts 26:18, Paul was told, watch it, that he was sent to the Gentile to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may have remission of sin. Brethren, listen to me. The greatest blessing a person could ever get in this life is remission of sin. And if you're so blind that you miss that, your life is in a waste. And in my tour of preaching, in my years of preaching, it's been my goal to make it so simple that that little child can understand it. Now, think about Jesus said. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What Jesus came, he healed this blind man, watch it, of his blindness, but he wanted people to know that he was the light of the world. See that? Now, let's look at, we see the blind man. Now we're going to look at bewildered men. This is the disciples. Watch the text. And his disciples ask him, saying, Master, who did sin? S-I-N. 1 John 3:4 says sin is a transgression of the law. That means sin, when you sin, sin is a violation of God's law. Now they asked the question, who broke God's law? Look at this. This man, now he was born blind. Wait a minute. Now you know, the Calvinists and some of my Baptists would say, well, you know, he must have had sin because we are born in sin. Don't you believe a word of it? Nobody's born in sin. You mean to tell me you think that this little pretty baby here was born in sin? She wasn't born in sin. How? Let's look at the definition of sin. Sin is a violation of God's law. I want to know what law did this baby break when she came into this world? We were born into a world of sin, but we don't sin until we break the law ourselves. Well, watch this. Y'all don't hit it. You still watching me? Watch this. I was born in an English-speaking country, America, but I had to learn how to speak English. Somebody ought to clap or pat or something. That's a good point there. You mean to, you were born in America, you wasn't speaking English? You had to learn. You were born in a world of sin, but you had to learn what to do to do sin. You commit sin. Sin is a transgression. Now, watch this now. They say that's what you call hereditary total depravity. In other words, we inherit Adam's first sin. Well, let me ask the question then. did Adam sin more than one time? Why is it they all say original sin that we receive his original his first sin was we inherited that? What about the second? Why did we get to why is it that we didn't get Eve's sin? She sinned too, and she's the one carried the baby. The truth of the matter. Brethren, listen to me. The reason I'm doing this, because you will be surprised to know how many people believe that, baby, we inherit our parents. Brethren, that is false, Ezekiel 18:20. I could go on and on, but that's just another part of a section of a lesson there. But was it this man or was his parents that he was born blind? You know, many times individuals don't know why something's going on. They do a lot of speculating. Well, let's go a little further here. Now, Jesus answered. He says, neither has this man sinned or his parents. Then he adds, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. When you read the book of John, it's about the deity of Jesus Christ. That means that he is God. And Jesus Christ existed before he came to earth. Hebrews says that a body thou hast prepared me. Jesus Christ existed before he was born in the flesh. Talk to me, the virgin birth. Well, so listen to this. Jesus is going to perform this miracle to show that he is that Messiah that Moses talked about would come, that God is going to raise up a prophet. John said in John 1:29, and the next day John said, behold, listen to this, the Lamb of God that taketh away. Look at this now. Look at this right here. Is S-I-N. It's not an S on sin in John 1:29. Well, what do you mean? Sin has to do with the barrier between God and man. You see that? Jesus Christ came to take that away, erase this. The Greek word iro means to, like a vacuum cleaner. He sucked it up. Had Jesus not come, brethren, nobody could be saved. Are you listening? Now, we'll go a little further here now. So he had to do his work. Now, we see the blind man, the bewildered man. Now we see the business of the Messiah. What was Jesus' business? I want to drop a bomb here. I may get in trouble, but that's all right. Do you think if Jesus Christ were here, do you think he would run for president? You think he'd run for senator? What do you think he would do? Wait a minute. You got it. Jesus said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Brethren, have we lost it? Do you know what our business? You know what the business of the Church of Christ is? It's not politics. It's the preaching of the gospel. Preaching evangelism. Preaching to edify and benevolent for saints and sinners. What else? Brother, let me tell you something. The world don't need another politician. We got a lot of those. We need the gospel preached in all the world. And I'm grateful for this church in Garland that had the foresight to send this message all over the world. Talk to me. That's what we need. And you ought to be proud to be a member of a congregation that decided, so you know what? We need to evangelize. This pandemic going on is not going to stop us. I ought to get a little clap or something, boy. Anybody here go to MTSU? Anybody go to MTSU here? Nobody go to MTSU? Yeah, I know we got two back there. But anyway, can you imagine them winning a football or basketball game and they make all these points and the folk just sit there and never say nothing? They say, man, what? But you know, even here I am making all these points and you won't even grunt. Come on, help me out here. All right, let's go a little further here now. So his business, what is your business? I could just work with this business. You remember Jonah? Boy, I tell you what, I need to stop this because I'm preaching too long. You know, in Jonah chapter 1, you know, when the storm came on the sea and they interrogated Jonah and said, what is your country? What is your occupation? What is your business? What are you doing here? What is your business as a member of the Church of Christ? What is your business? What is your business? You know, it finally dawned on me years ago, 30, 40 years ago, if you obey the gospel, you got a business. What is it? Seek and save the lost. What? That's our business. Do you agree? All right. Look, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. What do you mean? I used to read that and said Jesus didn't know what he was talking about because people work at night and they got lights they can see by. That wasn't what he was talking about. He's talking about, look here, night come, that's death. That's the grave. Solomon said there ain't no work in the grave, nothing. So while you got your right mind and you got a good opportunity and while you're young, do some work of the Lord. Listen to me. Don't wear yourself out getting everything you want done and get your life all built up. Then you get so old you don't want to do the Lord's work. Then you expect to go to heaven. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Wait a minute, young man, how old are you? Are you 30 years old yet? 40. You 40. Boy, you got a baby face. He's young, isn't he? Look at that. Look here, you young. I used to be that age. And he said, I used to be that age? Yeah. But it's daytime for you. When you start getting old as me and that fellow over there, it was nighttime it's rolling in. You can't do like you did. You need to tell him. When you get old, things change. You got it. Daytime at in the day. Nighttime coming. What do you mean? You're going to get old. Nighttime coming when no man can work. And let's go a little further. He said, boy, I like this. He said, as long as I am in the world, look at this. I am the light of the world. What do you mean? Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. People don't like Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said, or Paul said in Ephesians 5:11, ye who sometime were darkness, but now light in the Lord. So we need to be shining our light, right? Because it's going to come a time, Garland, when you don't get so old, you're not going to even know your name. You might have to start wearing diapers. Somebody have to feed you. Can't do the work of the Lord then. Nighttime came in. Somebody asked me the other day, why you keep going? Why don't you retire? What? I don't need to retire yet. Well, you know you're 75 years old. That's 75. Do you expect to get 100? I don't know, but I when I retire, the Lord will retire me. Well, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now, watch this. We see the inconsideration of his disciples. They want to ask questions about why the man is blind. You see people like that? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? What happened here? All of these questions. But they don't demonstrate. Now watch Jesus' demonstration. Watch it by the Christ. Watch this. The prescription of the Messiah. Watch this, brethren. I don't want to forget this. First, we're going to look at the grace of Christ. Are you still with me? Then we're going to look at the law of Christ. Then we're going to look at the works of faith. Oh, boy. Now, watch this. Let's look at the prescription of the Messiah. That's Jesus. The Savior, when he had thus spoken, this is Christ. That's the Savior. There's the spitting. Look at this. He spat on the ground. Oh. What else? And there's the stirring and made clay of the spittle. What else? Then you got the spreading, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now here's the question. Had you been there, and you had known that Jesus spit on the ground, took that spit and mud and made it all together and put it in his eyes, would you let Christ do that to you? Oh no. Not America, no. I don't want no spit and mud in my eye. I need to go to an optometrist or something. No, you've been blind today if you had been back there. Now, see, that's why I put that up here, trust and obey. Do you trust Jesus? A lot of people say they trust Jesus. Now, smart aliens, I don't want no mud and spit in my eyes. Can't you heal me another way? Since you say you Jesus, you the Son of God, can't you heal me without putting mud and spit in my eyes and then go wash it out? What's wrong with you? That's exactly what denomination people do. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Baptists say you don't have to be baptized. All you got to do is say the sinner's prayer. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner coming to my heart. What? Where in the instruction did Jesus tell him to go pray? I want you to go up there and pray in Siloam there and you're going to see. When did he tell him that? When did the apostles or Jesus Christ or anybody in the church ever say to anybody reading scripture, watch it, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and your sins are washed away? You won't find that in almanac, let alone the Bible. Now watch this now. We see the prescription from the Messiah. That's the grace of Christ. All right. We see the precept for the blind man. What's that? That's the law of Christ. Watch this. And said unto him, look. Everybody look. Go. Wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, where's the pool? I don't know where it is. He was told by Jesus, he put mud and spit in his eyes, go wash in pools alone. I don't know how he got there. But he made it there. Maybe somebody had to carry him there. I don't know. But he got there. Maybe he crawled. I don't know, but he couldn't see. But he had to get there. Now, everybody see that? Which is by interpretation sin. So we see the precepts for the blind man. This is the instruction to the blind man. You just go wash and pull this along. That's all he had to do. Watch this here. Now, the prudent blind man. What do you mean prudent? He was smart. Now, some people would never receive their sight because they think they're so smart, they got their own way of doing it. This guy right here, obedience, watch it. Watch it. Look at this here. Prudence is blind man. Obedience to Christ. Just listen to this. Listen to this. Obedience to Christ, works of faith. Brethren, listen to me. This blind man did not earn his eyesight. Wait a minute. I got to put this here because a lot of members of the Church of Christ miss this, and they don't know how to explain to the denomination of people when you come to baptism. Now, when he told this blind man to go wash in pools alone, he went. Now, he worked, but it was works of faith. What do you mean, works of faith? Jesus told him to do it. He trusts Jesus, and he obeyed him. That's what you call works of faith. He did not merit. He didn't earn his eyesight. He did works of faith. You got the grace of Christ. We have the law of Christ. And you have works of faith on the blind man's part. See that, darling? Now, let's go a little further. Look at this. Prudent man. His obedience. Boy, isn't this good? I feel like shouting. His obedience. He went his way therefore, and washed. What would you done? Stop here a moment. I remember one time down 1990 in Clarksville, Texas. It was in November. We had a tent meeting, and it was cold. We had to put the heater in the under the tent. And I was preaching something like this, and I extended the invitation there, and a lady, I heard a lady on one on this side over here just start hollering. I said, what in the world is wrong with her? And I didn't know it, but her daughter had gotten up and came up around behind the tent, and she came in, and her mama just went to hollering. What she did, she came to obey the gospel. She heard, she believed, she repented of sins, she confessed Christ, and we had a cow trailer. You all folks know what that is? And we had a cow trough, long trough there, and it was full of water. And it was cold. And her mother said, oh, my daughter's gonna obey the gospel. And she ran up there, and she put her hand in the water. The water was ice cold. She said, honey, you need to obey the gospel, but this part is too cold. You'll catch a cold in this way. You're going to catch pneumonia. She said, Mama, I know what I'm doing. It don't make no difference how cold it is, but I'm going to be baptized because, you know, hell is hot. And I may not even make it to the other place. So you know what happened? We baptized her in November in that baptistry, cold water. Johnny Robinson and I took her underwater and brought her up, and she shouted. Why? Well, what happened? She knew the importance of obeying the gospel when she heard the truth. Somebody said, that water too cold. You're going to mess your life up getting cold. That's all right. You it's all right to be well, and sometimes you get sick. But sometimes when you get well, if you die in your sins, well, you're going to hell. This girl saw that. She was 19 years old. No, she was 50 years old. Yeah, she's 50 years old. I'm obeyed the gospel. She obeyed it. If my memory serves correct, do you see it? Now, so he went therefore and washed. That's the obedience. Let's look at the outcome. What really happened? His outcome. And came what? God, can you see that? And came what?
Seeing.
What?
Seeing.
Now, let me ask a question. Had he not did what Jesus said, do you think he would have seen his sight? Now, let me ask a question. Hold. All right, boy. Now you see why I bought this chalkboard here, Garland. Now, there was the mud and spit, and there was the water. What opened his eye? Don't you dare say the mud and spit. Don't you dare say it was the water. What made him see? Was it the water? No. Who was it? It was Christ. And when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Don't you think one time that baptism is your Savior. Christ is our Savior. And when we are baptized, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in Christ, these are works of faith that we are doing. But all the way through, I'm depending on Jesus Christ as my Savior. Water ain't my Savior. Or faith. Yes, it takes faith to be saved. It takes repentance to be saved. It takes confession to be saved. It takes baptism to be saved. But they're not my Savior. My Savior is Jesus. Come on, say amen if you can. I'll tell you what, this is going to be a hard week this week, man. But we're going to be all right. Isn't that good? Now, so he did. Watch it. Speculation. By the people. Now watch this now. The people, the neighbors therefore said, and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Isn't that the fellow who used to sit around and beg? Yeah. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. I am he. I am he. So we see the people. Let's see the pressure on the healed man. See, that's what happened when you obey the gospel. You know, they put some pressure on me 47 years ago. But I was just silly and crazy. Had been away from Vietnam for about 10 years. I was still crazy. And I would fight you in a heartbeat. Because I've been over that crazy war over there. It didn't make no difference to me if you bothered me. But thank God for the gospel. It calmed me down. Now watch this now. The pressure on the blind man, the man was healed. Therefore said they unto him, how were thy eyes open? Watch what he said. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the sepulchre of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I, watch it, received sight. They had pressure on me. What are you doing leaving the Catholic Church and being a member of the Church of Christ? Don't you know the Church of Christ is a cult? I said, well, why you say that? The Church of Christ is a cult. There was another time I was in Marshall, Texas, on a tent. And I think it was about 650 people there. And I was preaching like this, and a young white boy about 16 years old ran down the aisle. And he obeyed the gospel. Well, the next day, the mother of the child came to the preacher's house and the elders, and they was in there. That woman was giving those elders and that preacher fit. See, y'all ain't nothing but a cult. Y'all done got my boy in here, and he don't know what he's doing. I said, wait a minute. The elders didn't know. They was all scared, and the preacher was all scared. I said, wait a minute. I was the one preaching. You need to talk to me. I said, what do you mean the Church of Christ is a cult? You're in the Baptist church. It's not in the Bible, but the churches of Christ are in the Bible. You call us a cult? You're a cult. The Baptist church is not in the Bible. You can look from Genesis to Revelation. You'll never find it in there. But the Church of Christ is in that Romans 16:16, salute one another with the churches with a holy kiss. The Church of Christ salutes you. Now, where does it say, salute you one another with a holy kiss? The Baptist Church salutes you. You won't find that in the almanac. Well, what happened? She calmed down. And the next night, I saw her sneaking in the tent. And she had her husband with her. He was a little puppy dog. She, it just, any way she bought, holler, he would just kneel down. I said, look at him. She had him by the hand and he said, and she stayed there for an hour and heard me preach again. I don't know what she obeyed the gospel, but the point of it is, brethren, I'm not bagging up off the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is right. I stand on that. Is that all right? And wherever that boy is, watch it. That's been 20 years ago, or 21. He's 30-some years old now. He's in Christ. I hope he's faithful. But he's in Christ. Was he smart? Yeah, he was smart. Well, amen. He received his sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. How boy? Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. Then there was the interrogation of the Pharisees. They started asking questions. These same Pharisees here want to cast out his mom and daddy out of the synagogue because they believe in Jesus. Castigation. Then we have summation here of the purpose of Christ, the Savior's purpose. Now let's watch this now. Look at this. It's time to close. Now you saw all of that. Here is Christ and the blind man. Jesus told him to go wash in pool of Siloam. He went and washed, came see you. Who opened his eyes? Jesus, right? Now, all people must obey the gospel of Christ in order to have remission of sin. That's either true or false. Brethren, it's not another gospel. Paul said in Galatians 6, 1:6-9, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not. The gospel is for all. That's the song we just got to sing. The gospel is for all. It's for everybody. There is not another message coming from heaven for a sinful man. The gospel is it. That's God's final message to mankind is the gospel. Brother, we need to get busy. That's it. Now, one must hear and believe the gospel. Romans 10:17, so then faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Is that right? Romans 1:4 there. One must believe the gospel. Romans 10:10, right? One must repent of their sin. Romans 2:4, the goodness of God should lead you to repentance. Wait a minute. Then we have confession, Romans 10:9-10. And then we have baptism, Romans 6:3. And we have faithfulness, Romans 6:4. Now, are you listening to me? That's what you have to do to be saved. Now, is this works a merit? No. These are what you call works of faith. Why are you doing this? Because the scriptures commanded us to do it. You see that? Now, here's what you have to believe. Number one, in Acts 15:7, Peter says, after there have been much disputing, Peter rose and said, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago that God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Well, what is the gospel? The gospel is the death of Christ, it's the burial of Christ, and it's the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Mark 16:9, he was resurrected on the first day of the week. Acts 1:9-11, he ascended back to heaven. So you have the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ and the ascension to heaven. Do you believe Jesus Christ is Lord, King of kings, and Lord of lords? Yes. You got to believe that. Hear and believe that. You've got to repent of your sins. What? Jesus said in Luke 24:47, watch it, that remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Well, what is repentance? Repentance is a change of heart brought about by godly sorrow. Jesus said in Matthew 21:28, what think ye? A certain man had two boys, and he came to the first and said, go work today in my vineyard. And he said, I will not. Then afterward, he repented and went. So what is repentance? It's a change of heart. Repent. So you've got to repent of your sin. Any known sin, you got to change your mind and stop. No, not slow down. Stop. Would you confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and own him before this sinful and adulterous generation? Yes. Would you be immersed in water? Look at this now. Would you go down and be baptized and immersed in water for the remission of sin? Somebody said, that don't make sense to me. Let's go back over here. You mean to tell me when this guy had Jesus to put the mud and spit in his eye and went and washed, did that make sense to you? Who ever heard a prescription like that? Putting mud in a man's eye, then telling him to go wash, then he can't see it. Now, this looks stupid to the world. Especially the Baptist people. They said, no, you're saved before you go in the water. Oh, yeah? Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went and saw. Now, did he see before he washed or after? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Are you saved before you baptize or baptized and then you saved? Well, who saved you? Christ. But he won't save you until you obey him. Brethren, obey is better than sacrifice. Got it? Now, once you hear and believe, you repent of your sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of sin. Now watch this. What's going to happen to you? You'll be saved. You'll be in the one church. You contact the blood of Christ. And it is the Jesus. Listen to this. Revelation 1:5. And he had washed us from our sins in his own blood. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin. Get this now, but the blood of Christ is the only thing that washes sins away. But you can't reach the blood until you hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And once you do that, you're in Christ. Now you need to be faithful. Now somebody has already done that. Are you faithful? And a preacher like this, I've preached like this for years, and I remember one time up in Dayton, Ohio there, preaching like this. I didn't preach that long, 35 minutes. 17 people ran down the aisle and were baptized into Christ. One man was 54 years old. I said, what, did they come to jump on me? What is all these folk coming down here for? Came and obeyed the gospel. Is that good? It may be somebody in this audience right now. And you may be watching this from another country. When you learn what to do, listen, you do it, the Lord will save you. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Is that good? If you're here today and in this audience today, would you obey the gospel? Listen, would you be saved today? Now, that's if you want it. Now, the blind man, apparently, he wanted it right away, because I don't see where he hesitated at all. He went and washed. If you hear and subject to the invitation, do it right now as together we stand and sing.